to installment 318 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five prohibitions, all relating to the dispensation of proper justice. Prohibition number 279 is that a judge may not have mercy on a defendant in a case where he is found guilty of murder or have taken out one limb of another person. Prohibition number 277 is that the judge may not have pity on a poor person in a financial case. Prohibition number 275 is that the judge may not give extra honor or respect to one of the litigants, even should he be deserving of such extra kovet. Prohibition 278 is that one may not tilt a judgment against a wicked person. Just because one knows he is wicked in another case, one may not tilt the judgment against him in this case. Prohibition number 273 is the general prohibition against perverting justice. Prohibition 279 is a prohibition of being overly merciful and therefore not executing a judgment. There are two parts of this commandment, each one having its own verse in the Torah. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 13, the verse states, "Leisaches eincha lov," someone that committed murder, you should not have mercy upon him, "Uviyarta dam hanoki miYisrael," that the one who shed innocent blood should be expunged from the Jewish people. This is a commandment that the Jewish court must not have mercy and refuse to inflict the death penalty upon a murderer who has been determined in court to have been guilty and to deserve capital punishment. As the Rambam mentions in his legal code from the Gemara, that the judge might think, what use will there be in putting this person to death? We will just use another Jew from the Jewish people. One has been killed already. Why should we kill this one as well? Therefore, the verse has to say, do not have mercy upon him. You are required to execute the judgment. And so too, let us say it is a case where one person damaged another, and let us say he has removed or destroyed one of his organs. The law is, as we discussed in the law of damages, that there is a knas, that there is a fine which must be paid for the loss of this particular limb. And even if it should be accidentally, if he didn't do it totally intentionally, nevertheless he must pay. So the Rambam tells us that a person might think, look, the one that caused the damage doesn't really have any money, and this that he cut off his hand, or that he destroyed an eye, was not done intentionally, and therefore why should we make him pay the full amount? Let us have mercy upon him. For this we have the same prohibition, this time in verse 21 of the same chapter, as the verse says, V'leison chesed einecha, do not have mercy upon him. Nefesh b'nefesh, a life for a life, ayin b'ayin, shein b'shein, yad b'yad, regel v'regel. Then an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, and foot for a foot. Which has explained on numerous other occasions that this means only the restitution, the value of that organ, in exchange for the organ. It does not mean that you strike out his eye because he struck out someone else's eye. According to the Torah tradition, it is clear, as the Talmud brings its proofs, that it is impossible the verse could mean such a thing. But nevertheless, he must pay the full amount of damage which he caused. And this is a prohibition that the judge must not have mercy and accept a lower amount of payment. Prohibition 277 is a prohibition against the judge having too much mercy upon a poor person in judgment. And this applies primarily to monetary cases, that a judge might be tempted that since the one party in the dispute is poor, that the judge will show favor to him. And the Rambam says we must, in such a case, treat the rich and the poor exactly equally, and whatever they are required to pay according to Torah law, they must be encouraged and forced to pay. As the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 3 relates, V'dal seder berive, in a dispute, one should not give special treatment for the poor person, that whatever he is required to pay according to the Torah, he must pay. And as the Sifri explains, what might be in the mind of the judge that he should be tempted to do such a thing? Shalei Taimar, a person should not say, look, this person is poor, and since anyway he's poor, I, the judge says to himself, and the rich person, really are required to give him charity anyway. So since we would have to give him charity since he's poor, Rather than having to do it in such a way where he feels he has to ask for charity, why don't I just declare him worthy and innocent, and that he should be victorious in this trial, and the rich person will have to pay him? What does it matter that he really doesn't deserve to be paid in this court case? Anyway, the rich person has to pay him. That way he will get his money without any other problems, without it in a very clear and non-threatening fashion. Therefore, the Sifri concludes, this is why we have the verse, and this time quoting a very similar verse in Leviticus 19:15, which says, Lisisa Panedol, that one should not give special respect for the poor person, meaning that the poor and rich must be treated absolutely equally. And as the Rambam will now say in Prohibition number 275, that we must treat them equally, not to favor the rich and not to favor the poor. That there will be a reason to favor the poor, since they anyway deserve the money, they anyway need the charity. And there's a reason a person might want to favor the rich, because he deserves certain respect and a very prominent person and so on and so forth. Therefore, we have a separate prohibition for each one. The Prohibition 275 is the prohibition against a person who is either very distinguished or very great, famous, or rich. The Rambam quotes the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 15. The same verse we mentioned regarding not giving special treatment to the poor, the same verse says, V'leisedar p'nei gadol, that one should not give special treatment to a great person, referring to a person that's great in any manner. As the Sifra says, that the judge might think to himself, that look, this person is very wealthy, or a great person, very distinguished person, in the child of great people. How could it be that I will shame him by losing in judgment and have to look upon him in a shame? Such a person, says the Sifra, is certainly going to twist around the judgment to favor the rich or favor the great person. And therefore the verse comes to prohibit this, saying, do not give him special treatment. And the Rambam tells us that no matter how great and no matter how honored the litigant is, he must not be given any favor whatsoever. We must not give him honor, and we must not elevate him in any fashion. And as he mentions in his legal code, that even to say hello to him, and rather not to the other person, itself is showing favor to him. And until the end of the judgment, one is not allowed to show him any kavod, any special honor whatsoever. As the Talmud in Sanhedrin tells the story of King Yanai, who once had a court case where his slave was accused of committing a murder, and the law is that a master must go along to hear the evidence, but Rav Yanai refused to stand up in the course of testimony, and Rav Shimon ben Shetach forced him to stand up, demanded he stand up, and King Yanai, obviously trying to intimidate the rest of the Sanhedrin, asked them whether they also thought he had to stand up. And since they refused to go against him, the Talmud relates that they were all suddenly struck dead miraculously because of their inability and lack of desire to give a pure, true judgment. Many details of this law that Rambam tells us are explained in the tractate Sanhedrin and Shavuos. Prohibition 278 goes one step further in fair treatment. This is a prohibition that when a judge knows that one of the litigants is wicked and the person has done many, many prohibitions, that since he has one person who is not wicked and one who is wicked standing in front of him in judgment, the judge might think, well, since this one we know is already evil, we should punish him in this judgment as well. For this, the verse says in Exodus 23, verse 6, do not turn your judgment upon the poor person in a case of disagreement. And the Mechilta explains that this means, when it says Evyeincha, the poor person, this means he is poor, impoverished in mitzvahs, that he does not fulfill mitzvahs, he is wicked. And the judge might be tempted that since he's already wicked, we will turn the judgment against him. And this is what the verse comes to teach you, that although that there is a presumption that he is already wicked, and perhaps is a liar, nevertheless we must judge this case on its own merits and not turn the judgment against him simply because he has shown to be wicked in the past. Prohibition 273 is a general prohibition about avil bedin, a general prohibition not to pervert justice. The source of this prohibition is in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 15, which states, Leisasu ovel b'mishpat, that in judgment do not do something unjust. And this includes any case where Torah law indicates that something should be done and the judge does differently. If, for example, Reuven and Shimon are having a court case and the law is that Reuven should pay and the judge decides that Shimon has paid, this is a perversion of justice and he is violating the biblical prohibition number 273 since he has perverted justice. In his legal code, the Rambam mentions another interesting ramification or inclusion in this mitzvah, that a judge is also prohibited from delaying unnecessarily a judgment. But once he knows who the judgment is in favor of, he is prohibited from withholding, revealing the judgment. That as soon as he knows, he must let everyone know. That this is also a perversion of justice, not only to bring an unjust verdict, but to unnecessarily delay the verdict is also a perversion of justice, and also comes under the purview of this prohibition 273. The responsibility of a judge to be absolutely perfect and true in his decisions is stressed many, many places in Jewish writings. It is said that a righteous judge causes God's presence to dwell among the Jewish people, and conversely, an unjust verdict causes the divine presence to withdraw and leave the Jewish people. And a judge has an awesome responsibility and should always look, says the Talmud, as if there is a knife hovering above his head ready to kill him, and Gehenna, that the gates of hell are open below him, also waiting to catch him, should he render an unjust verdict. This will lead him to be careful and not issue a legal decision until he's absolutely sure that it is a correct decision. As the Rambam says in his legal code, Baruch HaShemesh, it has to be clear as and bright as the sun, his decision, before he is allowed to render judgment. And this way he will ensure only a just verdict and also ensure the presence of the Shekhinah, the divine presence, continually among the Jewish people. You've been listening to Rambam on the Line, a project of Sichas in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the shiurim, call us at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.